Welcome to Kuvera's weekly digest on the most critical developments related to business, finance and the markets. Il n'est pas certain que tout soit certain, said Blaise Pascal. For students of physics, Pascal would be a familiar name. The 17th century French physicist formulated what came to be known as Pascal's principle of pressure and after whom the unit of pressure is named. Why are we talking about Pascal today? Well, he wasn't just a physicist. He was also a mathematician known for laying the foundation for the modern theory of probabilities and a philosopher. A case in point is the quote above from his book Pensées, Thoughts. Here's its English translation: "It is not certain that everything is uncertain." Okay, so now we are getting somewhere. Policymakers and central bankers have been talking about growing uncertainties over the past few weeks. There is uncertainty about a recession in the US and in Europe, where the Russia-Ukraine war is now in its fifth month. The IMF said last week the global economic outlook was extraordinarily uncertain. And the Reserve Bank of India said this Friday that spillovers from geopolitical shocks were imparting considerable uncertainty to the inflation trajectory as it raised its repo rate for a third time since May to 5.40% from 4.90%. The RBI, however, kept its forecast for inflation and India's economic growth unchanged for the current fiscal year. Still, at 6.7%, inflation for 2022-23 will remain far above the RBI's medium-term target of 4%. What does this mean for us? Well, the interest rates on home loans, vehicle loans and personal loans will rise further. So, borrowers need to tighten their seatbelts. For savers, fixed deposit rates will increase, albeit probably with a lag. But that also means real interest rates will remain negative for the foreseeable future. Talking about uncertainties, a few other metrics this week also raised concerns about the state of the Indian economy and point out how fragile the recovery has been from the pandemic-induced slowdown. The clearest indication that the Indian economy could be slowing came from S&P Global's monthly survey of business activity. India's PMI for the services sector, which accounts for two-thirds of the economic output, fell to a four-month low of 55.5 in July from an 11-year high of 59.2 in June, while the manufacturing PMI rose to an eight-month high of 56.4. The combined PMI fell to a four-month low of 56.6 in July from 58.2 in June. Meanwhile, India's merchandise trade deficit jumped to a new record high of $31.02 billion in July, up from the previous record of $26.18 billion in June and triple the level a year earlier. The gap widened as high crude oil and coal prices jacked up India's import bill to $66.26 billion in July from $46.15 billion a year earlier, while exports were little changed at $35.24 billion. For the April to July period, the trade deficit has touched $100 billion, more than double the yearly level. This, in turn, would put pressure on the rupee and domestic inflation. Another set of data showed that automobile retail sales in India, a key indicator of consumer demand, dropped 8% in July from a year earlier to 14.37 lakh units. While passenger vehicle retail sales fell 5% to 2.51 lakh units, two-wheeler sales declined 11% to 10.1 lakh as rural India continued to underperform due to an erratic monsoon and high ownership cost, the Federation of Automobile Dealers Association said. Talking about uncertainties, one company that is now definitely moving towards greater certainties is Yes Bank. The private sector bank has come a long way since March 2020. When the RBI took control of the lender and suspended withdrawals that sent depositors panicking. The RBI's bailout, led by State Bank of India, appears to be succeeding as the bank's financial position is improving. Its April to June profit jumped 50% and net interest income rose 32%, and it is back on the radar of investors. Late last week, Yes Bank said it was raising 8,900 crore rupees from US-based private equity firms Carlyle and Advent International. The PE firm would each get a stake of up to 10% in the bank. This comes a few days after Yes Bank stitched a deal with JC Flowers to offload bad loans with a face value of 48,000 crore rupees. The twin deals essentially mean that Yes Bank would be virtually free of the burden of bad debts and will have enough capital to grow its balance sheet again. Zomato this week reported a strong set of quarterly results that exceeded analysts' expectations. The food delivery company said its net loss for April to June narrowed to 186 crore rupees from 359 crore rupees a year earlier, and revenue jumped 67% to 1,414 crore rupees. The strong showing pushed up its shares by almost 25% this week. Also, foreign portfolio investors have made a gradual comeback. FPIs were net buyers in July and so far this month of $1.7 billion, pushing stock markets higher. The benchmark indices, BSE Sensex and the NSE Nifty, rose more than 1.5% this week. However, some stocks made far bigger leaps. SpiceJet jumped over 30% after reports that its owner Ajay Singh was looking to sell a stake in their low-cost airline. Zomato and Policybazaar were among the other big gainers in the broader markets. Among the Nifty 50 stocks, Mahindra and AMP, Mahindra rose more than 6% after saying its new Scorpio NSUV got 1 lakh bookings within 30 minutes of launch. Cipla, JSW Steel, Infosys and Adani Ports were the other top gainers.